give her a big hand. That'd be awesome.
Hi. How are we going? Woo. Big noises. Oh, dear. It's funny because have you ever noticed when you're asked to speak on something, it's usually the area that God is working on most in your life? Have you ever noticed that? So that's what I'm going to be sharing about today is an area that God is really, really working on with us and an area that we have been, just really passionate about and hungry for in terms of getting it right. And the good news is I have learned, God has shared with me, that it is actually not a destination. It's a big old journey, which is fantastic and really encouraging. And the journey that I'm speaking about, I should probably tell you, is my topic today is It Takes a Village and Building Empowered Children's Ministry Teams. So I really want to talk about that village concept and what that looks like and how we're translating that in to our teams. And I know that's an area that's really close to all of your hearts because we're all in this together. And as I chat with you guys, I hear that, and I know for us, man, it's just, you know, when you know the kids are sorted, you want to make sure your teams are looked after, and you want to make sure your teams are looked after because then you know the kids will be sorted. You know, it's that cycle that goes back and forth, isn't it? And they're so intertwined, and we've got to be able to build our teams and look after our teams. And I think it's funny because, you know, when we first started at North, there were about 6 leaders, I think, there at the time. And we moved it to, I don't want to get the numbers wrong and sound that I'm like all that in a bag of chips. There were about 6 or 8 leaders at that time. A lot of people serving, don't get me wrong, okay? And we moved it. We're sitting at over 60, 65-ish right now. But that comes with its own set of challenges, doesn't it? That's a new journey. So now we've got loads more people on the team. And my heart is, how are we going to look after them? What does that look like? How can we take them to the next level? How can we make sure that they're being blessed just as much as the kids are? And how can we link that together? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I just, as I said, I want to really play on that whole village concept. You know, I'm American. I'm sure you've noticed. I don't know if you've heard it. Can you hear it? Can you hear the accent? Just a little. But I am Italian American. Yay for Italians. Thank you very much. When I think of the whole village concept, that is very much how I grew up, right? Like, oh my goodness. We had the privilege of going to Italy for our first anniversary 12 years ago. There we go. There it is right there. oh my gosh, when I was there, I just felt like I was home, right? You've got the nonnas all over the place. You've got the trying to feed you. You know, you've got people coming around to make sure you're okay. You've got young people, old people, middle people, all kinds of ages and stages and seasons of life. And that is just so home to me. But I thought, you know, when I look at a village, I don't see a group of people. I see diversity, I see community, and I see people operating in proximity, in a closeness. And I was just praying about that and thinking about that, and I thought, far out, that's what we're looking for in our teams. That's what we need to get to in our teams. That's what we're trying to accomplish. And in order to, if we lead empowered children's teams, we're leading empowered children's ministries, aren't we? That's translating to our children. So I was looking at that whole village thing and what it looks like. And I thought, you know, there's that saying, isn't there? It takes a village to raise a child. We all know that. And this kids ministry thing, we can't do it on our own. But then I thought, why on earth would we want to? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Man, I look at the team that we have at North and the team that's all across life, but man, God has woven the most amazing tapestry of people. I can't even begin to put it into words. And I just think, you know, if we're open to that, that's actually what He's going to do. And I think it's about celebrating that diversity. We have so many different types of people on our team. We've got, as we touched on yesterday, people in so many different seasons. But I think that adds to the richness of the team that's looking after those amazing kids, that's sewing into those amazing kids. They're sewing into them from different seasons and different perspectives in their own lives. So I think the diversity of team is one of my absolute favorite parts of it, you know? I do a lot of, I'm a real big fan of John Maxwell and the leadership teaching and things that he's got going on. And he always says, you know, he does four things well. And everything else, God just attracts to him like a magnet. Oh my goodness, I so feel that way, except I think I only have two things. I think I've got two things that I can nail. But the rest, do you know what I mean? I've got this amazing team around me that their strengths are my weaknesses. And it's vice versa, isn't it? So I think sometimes it's just celebrating the diversity of our teams and understanding how different they are and knowing what an incredible asset that is to our kids. You know, you've got people from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life that are going to be able to reach our kids in different ways. So I think that diversity side is a big deal. Now, there's something from the Fuller Institute called sticky faith. Anybody heard of that philosophy? Sticky faith? Know what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sticky faith just basically talks, they've done a real big study about children that have gone through kids programs and then looked at who stayed. So who's stuck on the other side? And one of the biggest reasons that kids are actually staying in church when they are old enough to make the decision to do so on their own is being exposed to generational leadership. So, you know, man, I think we've got to just celebrate that. And when we're building our teams, let's not go what we are in our instinct. You know, we tend to build like teams, don't we? So I'm going to go find some more parents because that's what I am. Nah, man. I need some youth in there. I need some young adults in there. I need some, like Jeremy mentioned, Lex. I need some grandparents in there. My goodness, everyone has a richness and a different thing that they're going to bring to those kids. And on your platform, different perspectives in teaching the same message goes a very long way. And whether you're a big church, small church, or something in between, you have different people in your organization that we can start looping in speaking to our kids. So I think thinking outside the box on that. But it was so interesting to me in reading that study that was one of the main things keeping kids in church is not just keeping kids in a kid bubble. Do you know what I mean? So that leadership in our teams is really important. And I think the second side, that community side of things, man, this is the area we're working on the most right now, and that's everybody feeling valued. I mentioned the growth that we had. I remember sitting there throwing a slight tantrum in Lionel's office one day, thinking, and I did. I looked and I was, oh, I'm going to be a little bit transparent today. Is that okay? Is it? Okay. And I sat there and we were looking at this thing and we had all these amazing names on this piece of paper and we've got all these people down and we're putting in a little structure, which I'll talk about. And I looked at it and I burst into tears and I was like, I can't look after 70 amazing leaders. That's so many. How am I going to do 70 coffees? And he looked at me and he's like, dude, you have other people on your team. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, I know. But I'm the kind of person that wants to give them all a hug. Do you know what I mean? I want to be there with every single one of them. But guess what? That's not my place. I'll give them all a hug. Don't you worry about that. But my place is, I'm not going to be able to have a coffee with every single solitary person and make sure they're okay and checking into their world and asking if they're in the right place and how's it going. And it's, all those things need to still happen, though. So we mobilize a team to make that happen. So what we did is we said, okay, we've got 60 leaders, and it looked a different way in preschool than it did in primary. And in primary, we put in a system where we've got service oversights. And those service oversights, I've got four of them. Well, I have three, but I'll have one more in Jesus' name soon. Pray for that, okay? So I've got three amazing, amazing ladies that look after preschool on a Sunday each week. That's their role, that's just to look after all of preschool and put out all the fires and make things happen. But the families or the people who are serving on a Sunday, each one is assigned to a person. So we've got almost like connect groups. So we've got four service oversights, and all of our whole preschool team is divided into four groups, one each week, and they're looked after by those service oversights. So there's a touch point. There's a contact point. My goal on a Sunday is to have one conversation with a team member to ask how they're enjoying their role and what it's doing. And if you're the person oversighting, don't be afraid to say, okay, I can take a small thing, because I was always trying to get to everyone. And that was my biggest mistake, is I was trying to get to everyone. But if I just stop and say, I'm going to have one intentional conversation every Sunday, how's it going? Are you enjoying where you're at? Do you even like preschoolers? Do you know, just making sure that we're all in the right place, and what are you getting out of it and what's happening? That's actually making an incredible difference, because it's one thing to build a big team, but how do we keep a big team? And so with each one of those amazing people, I'm sowing into them, they're sowing into their teams, their room leaders are sowing into the volunteers. Does that make sense? So it's kind of a bit of a stack scenario. And then in primary, same thing. I mentioned we've got our small groups. So we've got small group. We're implementing small group coaches that will be coming alongside each one of those small group leaders. Because, again, Jeremy and I, how are we going to get to, well, let's see, there's year 1 through 6 boys, year 1 through 6 girls in service 1, service 2, and the 6 p.m. Well, that's a few people. But I want them to feel valued. I want them to be looked after. I want them to know that their role makes a difference. I want to be able to answer all their questions. I want to get alongside. So it's not me that is getting alongside, or Jeremy that is getting alongside every single solitary person. It's the coaches. Man, we've got amazing people on our team that, to be quite honest, probably have more wisdom to be able to impart to those people than we do. Let's be completely honest. So what's great is if we've mobilized them and we sow into them, they are then sowing into the rest of the team. Does that make sense? And I think that concept works big or little, because no matter what size your church is, if you're the one leading it, you're still pretty busy on a Sunday. You're running around like a headless chicken, let's be honest. Am I the only one that runs around like a headless chicken? I just want to make sure. Okay, thank you. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm the only one who does that. I'm trying to work on my Sunday face, you guys. Like, I'm trying to make sure that it stays. You know, you talk about the duck and the water, right? The duck, it looks amazing. You got this duck floating along, and underneath, that duck is working overtime. I've got to make sure that my Sunday face is the top of the duck, not the bottom of the duck, right? So you don't see the feet. But I have an amazing team that is working, that is helping with that. But again, like I said, whether you're a big team or a small team, you are still doing everything on a Sunday. And God has really challenged us that we're missing out if we're doing everything on a Sunday. If we're not mobilizing our teams, we are missing out. Because there have been people that have been placed in that children's ministry for a doggone good reason. And if we try to do everything ourselves, they will not be mobilized to do what God's called them to do. And that really challenged me, as I thought, far out. If I try to do it all, I'm stopping them from doing what God's asked them to do. Who am I? Do you know what I mean? That's not my role. So I think sitting down, I sat down and I looked at this amazing tapestry, this amazing team, and I thought, okay, go, God, what are their strengths? What do I have in front of me? And how can I mobilize them? And so then it's coming alongside. Another thing that we looked at is, how are we going to talk to them all? Because you don't want to add another thing. Right? You don't want to add another thing, another training, another, right? So we do once a term. We will meet up with everybody, and we'll sow into them on that basis. But on a small basis, I'm also sowing into my service oversights in preschool and primary, also once a term, and they're sowing in to their group and on forth with that. Does that make sense? So it's just where everybody's being reached more often, but I'm only doing it 4 times a year. But like I said, I did challenge myself that every single Sunday I will have... How many Sundays are there in a year? I don't know. Somebody do the math. But I'm going to get... I'm not a numbers person, you guys. That's not on the list of the two things. That's not on the list. Numbers not on the list of the two things. No, see? Numbers and directions. You guys, I could get lost in my own house and it's 92 square meters. So I am... Oh, I derailed my train. What was I saying? Yeah. Every Sunday, I figure... So I married him right there, that guy. every Sunday, I figure if I have an intentional conversation with a team member, with a leader, I'm going to get myself around to everybody by the end of the year. But I want to have an intentional conversation with every single person wanting to know, hey, how's it going? What does it look like? But I'm challenging my team to have those conversations. Just because I'm not having the conversations doesn't mean they're not happening. So it's empowering the team to say, hey, are we even asking if they like it? Because there was a thing at Life for a very long time. We implemented that whole, and you may have heard me talk about it either last year or the year before, I can't remember. But we had going that if you had children, you served in kids. That's just what it was. It was a very assumptive approach. Now, I'm American. I'm no stranger to assumptive approaches. I'm okay with this. However, there is a time and a place for that assumptive approach. And when I first came on at North, we needed that because we didn't have enough people. And it was like, holy schmoliolas, we better bring... How are we going to... Yeah, I say weird comments, but it's a weird... sayings. It's the American and the Italian. It's all right. So I thought, what am I going to do? You know, so we brought all these people in, but you know what? If we're bringing them in because they're told to be there, what's it going to look like? How is it going to translate for our kids? But when I first thought about taking that away, I thought, oh my gosh, well, who's going to run it then? Do you know what I mean? Who's going to be there on a Sunday? How are we going to get that many people in there if we don't say, if we don't employ, or not employ, but empower or mobilize all the parents? But then we decided, nope, we're not going to do it. And we got away with that. And now it's intentional conversations. We're asking parents, hey, I know you've got a little one in kids. Would you like to join us on a Sunday? Hey, are you okay coming along? I know you've got a little one, but do you like staying in here with them and teaching the others? Hey, I noticed you were awesome at that. Because, you know, there's an ulterior motive. Yes, they're awesome at it. But if I'm building into them, one of the number one reasons that people don't serve in kids' ministry is because they don't think they can. I get so many people freaked out going, I can't speak into someone else's kids. And we're going, look at you, you're amazing with your own. They're like, yeah, that's my own, and if I screw up, it's okay. And they're like, how am I going to work with other people's kids? But if we're walking around our rooms, and if we're mobilizing our leaders to walk around our rooms and catch something happening and saying, man, I noticed how you got down on the level with that other kid. You just brought out the best in him. Man, you're amazing. Oh, my goodness. What am I doing? I'm walking around that room, and I'm planting seeds for people to want to serve in kids because I've just told them they're doggone good at it. So they're going to come back in, and now I'm going to have a team that actually wants to be there. Because it was very scary moving from the have to the want to. It really was. There wasn't enough people, and we were going, how are we going to make that work on a Sunday? But you know what? We are making it work on a Sunday because we're getting around to everyone, and we're asking them to come rather than telling them that they need to. So that, we found, has really helped. And I think one of the things that we are talking to our leaders about right now is making sure that every single person understands that they have a role to play. If someone says the word ratio to me, I almost have the same reaction as when someone says the word babysitting. Get a little nauseous. Do you know, like, we're not babysitters. We went over that yesterday. But the other thing is, people are not there to fill a ratio. Ratio? Yeah, it's safe, we're cool, but ratio? No, they're there to sow into kids. They're there because God's placed them there to make a difference, and we need to speak into that. And you know, a lot of times we have parents helping because they feel obligated, and that's understandable, and that's cool, and I'll take them. But the point is that we want them to know that they are valued, they are here for a reason, and you know what? The season of life that they're in where they have a baby, well, what if they're like Esther and God is using them for such a time as this? What if, yeah, I've got a baby, I've got a kid now, geez, I'm usually serving on the host team, I am a fish out of water. We need to recognize that our people that have been in our teams for ages, coming into kids, that is such a foreign environment for them. So how do we make them feel welcome? How do we help them understand that, hey, this season that you're in, God's going to use this. God's going to use this season. You are so amazing with your kids. Look what you can do with other kids. Look at the blessing you can bring. Look at who you are with those kids. And I reckon we talked yesterday about speaking into who kids are in the eyes of God. Well, let's speak into our team as to who they are in the eyes of God. And I am so challenged in this area. I've actually got a few of my team here now, and I'm trying not to cry because I feel always like I don't do it enough. I love you guys. But do you know what I mean? It's constantly trying to make sure that that's happening and that we're telling them. And if we're not doing it, we know that that's a culture that's created, is that everyone is calling out the good in everyone else. Because if we're calling out the good in our teams, they're calling out the good in our kids. And that's just going to perpetuate. And that's what we want to do. And you know, I think, like I said, setting our leaders up for a win. How many of our leaders, and do we know the last time they've been to church? I know what it's like. I am just as bad. I was in last Sunday, so I can say I was in. No, I know what it's like. I know that sometimes we don't get in. I know we don't get it in as often as we want to. But you can't give out of what you don't have. And we are really challenged to make sure that we are in. We roster ourselves on so that we can make that happen. So that we roster ourselves in the service. That's what we're doing. But with our team, you know, it's so easy to just assume, well, they're serving fortnightly, so surely on the other week they're going in. Are they? Do we know? And I think we need to ask. We need to say, hey, how was the message last week? Do you know? Or just ask, hey, how are you doing? Are you finding it okay? Are you getting in? Are you making it? Just asking the questions. I think the more intentional questions we can ask, the better it is. And I am just as guilty of it as anybody, but the assumption that they're fine. Because, again, it's that duck. Some people are really good at looking like really cool ducks. Do you know what I mean? But what does it look like under the water? What does it look like for their family? Is the call time really hard? Let's find out. Let's come alongside and see how we can make it better. I didn't say change the call time. I said come alongside and see how we can make it better. The call times still have to happen. Things still have to happen. It's not always going to be easy, and that's okay. But how can we come alongside and just ask better questions? We ask better questions, I think we're going to get better answers. Is everyone on our teams, are they all buying into the vision? If they're not exposed to the vision, they're not buying into the vision, just so you know, we know. And if they're not buying into the vision, they're not sharing the vision with our kids. So we've got to make sure that what is the health check of our teams personally? How are they going? Are they in church? Are they you know what I mean? What's going on in their world? That are they exposed to the vision? Do they know what's happening at church? When we sit together with our teams, are we just going over the kids' vision, or are we pulling in the vision of the church? It's one house. It's one house with many rooms, right? And so sometimes I think, you know, kids ministry can be so isolating. Anybody? Am I also the only one that feels like I'm in a hole somewhere? Okay, good. Sometimes. It can be a really isolating ministry. Do you know, sometimes just by physicality, you're in a completely different location as everybody else. So if your teams are serving, if you're serving all the time, pop your head in the main service. Get in for one session of worship. Do something so that you're touching, feeling, and you're connected with the church. Because we can't run this thing. We can't do this for our kids like this. And that's what's going to happen. Do you know, sometimes you talk about in marriages that people grow apart this way. Well, what if you're growing? You're both growing, but in two different, at different times. In different directions. Do you know what I mean? What if the church is going this way and you're taking your kids' ministry this way? Whoa. We've got to pull it back and make sure that we're following and we're alongside the vision of our main church, of our senior pastors, of everyone else, and then we're not pulling it off. And making sure that not assuming that our teams are catching that vision too. You know, when we're doing our team meetings, pull in the main vision of share something from your senior pastor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that we can pull it all together so that it's one more cohesive unit. Because remember I talked about the Fuller study. They reckon that kids staying in church, it's also not just exposure to adults. It's exposure to big church and little church. If our teams are not getting anything from big church, they're not going to bring big church in. Does that make sense? So we want big church brought in. It's one church. It's one same thing. The problem with being Italian is you talk too fast. is the problem with being Italian. I just want to unpack a little bit what we're talking about with teams. I got on a bit of a tangent, but that's okay. With teams and how we structure it. Is that okay? Is anybody interested to know that side of it? With, like I said, with our primary, I'll go preschool and primary. So with our primary crew, we've got two service oversights, and they happen to be scheduled fortnightly. That's just the way we've got it going on. Let me re-explain. We've got two services in the morning and one evening service. Okay? So I'll explain to you the template and the model that we're using, and then you'll be able to work out how that applies in your situation. So we've got three services on a Sunday at North. It's different at the other campuses. Central has three services in the morning and one at night. So we've got multiple services going on, all right? And at North, the way we've set it up is that our service oversights in primary run fortnightly over both services in the morning. The night's a slightly different kettle of fish, okay? So they're overseeing both teams. And then under that, we've got our Connect Group leaders. And our goal is that every single person who is leading a Connect group has actually gone through the process and become a leader at life. So they're not just, they're actually being sewn into as well. And we know that they are following along with what we would expect of a leader at life. So we know that they're giving. We know that they're buying into the vision. We know that they're connected in. And they are the ones that are speaking into our kids in those small groups. My goodness. At first it was, you know what it's like. You've got so many people, you just put anybody to lead that small group. We've been there. You just put someone in to fill a spot. But we started intentionally filling those places in those small groups. No one is a Connect group leader, a small group leader, that we don't intentionally put there to speak into and lead kids. So we've got our small group leaders. We have a different speaking roster. There's a different group of people that will speak. And that platform is quite protected, just like it is anywhere else. There's no difference between this platform, that platform, kids' platform. It's a platform. It's where kids are being spoken into. So that's a smaller group. So we've got our two service oversights that work fortnightly. Underneath that, we've got our Connect group leaders. But alongside those Connect group leaders, we've broken it into junior 1, 2, 3 and senior 4, 5, 6 Connect group coaches. Does that make sense? So they're pulling in and they're feeding into that group. In preschool, we've got our service oversights. We've got our room leaders. And our room leaders look after the rooms. And then they've got a team behind them. So our service oversights are sewing into our room leaders. Our room leaders are sewing into the team that's there on a Sunday. Does that make sense? Yep. So that's kind of how we've got that broken down. But we need to make sure that... the reason we put that structure in place is because, like I said, it had grown to the point where I was worried that no one was getting looked after. So if we've got more people sewing into more people, then I think we're following in a better place. Are you okay if I open for questions? Okay, good. Questions? Hit me. Oh, yeah, sorry. They are all in one room. It's years 1 through 6 in one location. We've got a little room off the side. With our new Central campus, we're looking at breaking that out, aren't we? The ages, years, 1, 2, 3, and 4, 5, 6. So in our new Central campus, there's a little bit more space. So it'll be 1, 2, 3s, 4, 5, 6. They'll come together sometimes. They'll break out sometimes. As Harry was talking about yesterday, it is difficult to pitch to a group. I mean, the age gap between 5 and 11 is massive. And that's where we found that our small groups have made such a difference. Because we're able to take those messages, and even though all the kids are in the room at the same time hearing the same message, in the small groups, that's where it's broken down. So you'll find in our year 6 groups, there's a lot more deeper discussion going on. In our year 1, there's a lot more intentional games that pony off the message. Do you know what I mean? But it's so they all are in one space. A lot of us, so for preschool, we've got it broken out to be 1s, 2s, and a 3, 4 room. Some campuses have 3s and 4s separate as well. At night, at the 6 p.m., we're running much smaller numbers. And at night, we're running, the South is running big numbers at night. The rest of us are down at about 20 to 30 kids, right in that range, and they're all in one room, including preschool. Because we don't get a lot of preschoolers at that time. We'll get maybe 3 or 4, and they're, you know, the resilient sort. But they're also, we have that separate room off of primary where there's a bit of a breakout for it to be a bit quieter. So, and before I had that room, I just did the space in that one big room, as I said yesterday, so there was a bit more room for different personalities, different ages and stages. Those Connect group leaders make a massive difference, because when we bring a child in the room, we're not just bringing a child into a massive space, we are, but we're bringing a child to a person in the massive space, which happens to be the year, whatever Connect group leader that they're going into. So if we bring a year one in, I'm going straight to find my year one leader, and they get connected with them immediately, as opposed to just, hi, family, oosh, and there's the room. I think the room is can be very big and overwhelming, but we can use people to make it more welcoming and smaller, and that's what we try to do. Anybody else? Totally. Totally. We've played with it, eh? Like, we've done different things. So preschool, a lot of our preschool, we still have a majority of our preschool group that are parents, that are preschool parents. We have some young ones. So my young ones will usually come on fortnightly. Every second, each service separate. So I'll have a service one team and a service two team. But typically, our preschool room leaders are actually monthly. Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about consistency with that and how that's hard on the kids and, you know, you need more consistent faces. And what I have found is I actually have a very small handful of leaders who have actually approached me, and this was after we prayed about it, and said, hey, I want to be there weekly because I see the need and I want to do it. And they're there weekly. So you know what? I don't have to have the whole team on weekly. I know that they're going to see Michelle's face every single solitary week. So if I've got a one-year-old, they're going to see that consistency. The rest of the team that's supporting, that's okay. And I've moved from thinking that it all has to be one way and now embracing the diversity in rostering as well. Do you know what I mean? If we've got some people that can only do once a month, amazing. We've got some people that can do fortnightly, perfect. We've got some people that can do 1 and 3, perfect. We've got some, and I just, there. I started with a norm. Do you know what I mean? So preschool's monthly, primary is fortnightly, weekly if you can. But then we kind of fit it around. Does that make sense? So primary, most of the team is, I'd say about half of the team is fortnightly. A good portion of them are weekly, meaning they serve in the morning service. They serve one, attend one, that whole Martha Mary thing, because we have the two services. But yeah, but I just find that if you only have one service, because for our night service, obviously it's slightly different. We've got a lot less kids. It's a little different. I roster them on 1 and 3 at the moment. And some have come and said, hey, I can do more. Great. Woohoo. But I think I've just started asking more and being open to that more, because what I've noticed, and this is one of the lessons we learned in London, is that, and it has to do with that whole duck in the water thing, is that most people think you've got it sussed. Do you know what I mean? Most of the parents are going, wow, it's so amazing. And I want them to say that it's so amazing, but they just think we don't need help. So I have learned, not in my under the water duck face, but in my happy face, I have learned to just, hey, and ask for more team and ask for people to come on board and ask, because someone, and it just happened recently, really? You need more? I thought you guys were okay. And I'm right on the other side of my head going, oh my gosh, we're so not okay. But do you know, they just don't know. They just don't know. So, and if I would say of those leaders that we've got, what, 60% of them were prayed in? Like, actually, I'm not exaggerating on that. Actually prayed in. Like, we would stop as a team and go, okay, God, do your thing. We need more people. And up until the very last minute, how am I going to fill it? How am I going to fill it? What am I going to do? I know what's coming next. What am I going to do? And we prayed them in. And I've had a couple of my strongest leaders have actually approached me and said, can I serve? Can I come in? God's talking to me about serving in kids. It's happened so many times, and I continue to be in awe by it. I'm just like, oh my goodness, we've got another one. Someone's leaving, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? That service oversight. I normally would be freaking right out, but I know they're coming. because God's going to bring them. And I have to do my part and open my little mouth and let them know that, hey, put the ask around. I've gone to all the regional pastors in church, and I've said, hey, just so you know, I need a year 3 boy leader. I need a year, and I put in, when we do debriefs, I drive them nuts. And I actually put in an order every single time and say, hey, this is what I need. If anybody knows of anybody, you just let them know. Before conference, at the bottom of every single email, I put in bold, hey, it's not too late to serve for conference. And about 4 smiley faces. They just don't know that we need the help. So putting that ask out there and that intentionality, sorry that I moved from your original question. Is that okay? Yeah, so right now we're using Orange. Orange is a curriculum that, it's a funny thing, Orange. I absolutely love it. And in some ways, I think it is more for a bigger church. The reason we decided to go with Orange is because we just wanted to simplify. We didn't have the capacity anymore at that time to just keep writing the whole thing ourselves. So we decided to purchase a curriculum. We purchased Orange. Now, the reason I think sometimes Orange is better for a small church is because, you know, some of the activities that it calls for, some of the crafts in preschool or some of the activities for primary, I look at it and I go, I can't do that times 1,000 kids. Do you know what I mean? Oh, my word. Like, it's amazing. So I have learned to be an expert dissector of Orange and just take out the pieces that work for me. But it's still simplified. You know, the content, the message, all I have to do. Now, I know this is going to be ironic, but you'll be okay, is un-Americanize it. The American is un-Americanizing the curriculum. But my counterpart who does the primary curriculum, so sorry, I look after preschool curriculum for all 3 campuses. My counterpart, Lori, looks after primary for all 3 campuses. She's also American and un-Americanizes the curriculum. But we just found for us, it was a lot easier to not be writing it every single month. I mean, I can take a day and knock out a whole month. The thing that takes me the longest is pulling out the activities and coming up with different activities and crafts to do that still link with the message, but are not so labor intensive for, you know, like I said yesterday, paper plates are very expensive in this country. So, you know, some crafts that are amazing for a small church that you can actually do, I can't do because I'm trying to buy 1,000 paper plates. Does that make sense? But there's some really cool curriculums out there. I know I've just seen, somebody mentioned it not too long ago, but you know the YouVersion Bible? Do you know the YouVersion Bible app for kids? So download YouVersion. It's so cool. So the YouVersion Bible, but there's a Bible app for kids. My kids are 6 and 10, and they still love that thing. So the Bible app, they have come out with a curriculum. I don't know how much it is. I don't know. I know nothing, but I just know it's amazing. Is it free? Well, that makes it happier. it's quite good. I love that Bible app, and it's really intuitive, and that kind of thing. So they've got a curriculum for it. So there's a lot out there. I think for us, it has worked to write a month at a time. So we write a month at a time, sometimes 2 months at a time, so we can get ahead of ourselves. It does not match with the main service except for once a year. So in our main service, Pastor Paul will do a God, Money, and Me series. So Pastor Paul wrote a book called God, Money, and Me. And even before he wrote that book, he always did a series that focused on educating in terms of finance and kingdom and that kind of thing. And we incorporate that with our kids. We do that with our primary kids, and we gently try to incorporated in the 3 and 4-year-old age. So once a year, we will pull and do a theme that matches. And we'll do God, Money, and Me at the same time as the main service. But the rest of the time, it does not match, no. We found that youth is actually doing Orange as well. So we're all the way up to youth. They're doing the same. We're doing the same curriculum, which is pretty cool. So on themed months, we had March Madness recently. Which is a basketball thing, Tommy. Which is a basketball thing in the States, and it was a big we had a big basketball sports theme, and we noticed we were all in basketball singlets, and we noticed so was the youth, and we're like, oh yeah, they're doing orange too. So it links through, but. So one of the. It is a struggle. we have personally found that tribes has been so helpful for us. So we break the kids out into four colors and four different tribes. Someone came up with calling them, you know, four tribes, the different tribes of Judah having biblical names, but actually they're red, green, yellow, and blurple because I didn't have enough blue and purple tokens. So it's blurple. So it's not fancy, but it's just the red team, the yellow team, the green team, the blurple team. And we've got them divided up, and the whole purpose of those tribes is to catch kids being good, to catch kids being amazing is what I tell them. You know, I want to see somebody being amazing. What does amazing looks like? Amazing looks like you're listening and you're engaging in the message. You're listening. Amazing looks like you're not poking your friend. Amazing looks like you are helping in the small group. So we're planting that seed from the stage of what it looks like to behave properly in a small group. As we plant that seed, and then one of us will wander around with a bucket of tokens during connect groups. And you know me now, I'm not that quiet. I don't just walk around, I shake that thing. Do you know what I mean? I walk around the room with my tokens. Who's being amazing? Do you know? and we walk around with that so that it's noticeable. And the kids, all of a sudden, it's hilarious. One day we were on stage and the kids were starting to get a bit squirrely. And I just walked up and I sat on the edge of the stage with a bucket of tokens. Do you know how many kids snapped to attention? They did. They all just went. Because they know they'll get a token. We do a party every other month, and the winning tribe gets like chippies and juice or something in their tribe. In front of all the other kids, they get a special little treat in their little tribe. And they are loving the idea that they get a special treat every other month. And it's so good. Hey, like, we have to keep the answers. It is locked in my phone. Who won? Who won? They get so excited. What's the winning tribe? What's the winning tribe? And we're building a lot of momentum around that. I'm going to get a big board and actually put the colors up in the room so that we can see and track what's happening. But we find that that does help with connect groups. The other thing we found that helps with connect groups, and the reason we broke them out by ages, is keeping them small. So in our second service, we were missing our year 3-4 boys seemed to be the most difficult. You have year 3-4 boys that it's like, whew. So we know when that group is together, ain't nothing getting done. It's just not going to happen. But when we split them and there's a year 3 group and a year 4 group, we find it goes a lot better. The other thing we're trying to implement at the moment is now building up, now that we've got connect group leaders all the way across, is actually getting 2 ICs for each connect group. So there's 2 people to just increase that engagement. So it's 2 on a small group of, say, 10 or less instead of just 1. So we found that somehow keeping the group smaller, whether it's by age or stage or whatever, has made a massive difference. But tribes have made a huge difference. And walking around. We also have the leaders carry tokens in their pocket. And so they give them out during connect groups as well. So when a kid answers a question or when someone helps and sets something up, an activity, they get a token. And the more we can give kids tokens, the more obvious it is for other kids of what to do. That caught being good mentality. So I send out the lesson on Monday. It might have gone out on Tuesday on conference week, team. But no, I send out the message on Monday. I really, really tried to get it out on Monday. I get it out on Monday most times, don't I? Most times. Most times. Say most times, Caroline. Yeah. No. Most times. So they've always got my back. They're beautiful people. Most times I send it out on the Monday so they know what to expect in advance. And then we do have a team brief on the day and in the morning because I'm very conscious that just adding another thing. Do you know what I mean? Adding another, but email communication. So I send it out via email. And so they read the lesson and they are expected to prepare for the what's happening that Sunday. So that goes to the whole team. Everybody. Yep. And I think going forward with implementing the small group coaches and that kind of thing, that'll be a text or a call. Hey, did you get the lesson? How'd you go? Do you have any questions? What you did. I didn't introduce myself. Hi, I'm Crystal, and I look after Jeremy and I, my husband and I look after the North Campus. We're the children's pastors for the North Campus, and part of my role is also to look after the preschool curriculum for all three campuses. And then, so we have campus children's campus pastors for each campus. So I look after North, Lori looks after South, and she also writes the primary curriculum, and then Rosie looks after Central. So there's three of us who all report to that amazing guy right there. Lionel, go like this. That one. Yeah, so we've got it to the point where the service oversights for preschool, they run preschool. They handle preschool. The service oversights for primary, they handle primary. I am there floating in between, and because I'm a control freak and I really have to just have to have my hands stuck in there because I can't help myself, they're smiling, aren't they? simply because I can't help myself. But it is. We've gotten it to a point where it can run. Technically without us. Are we filling holes? Are we filling gaps? Yes. Are we? Because the other thing is that if you are the kids pastor, you need to be connecting with families. I was so challenged on that. Again, I am a can-do type of personality. I'm a type A personality, and I wanted to be doing it. And I wanted to be doing it all. And I need to, God really challenged me, stop. This is your role. Your role is not to be sitting there passing out the paper plates or doing whatever. Not that that is not a crucial part. And that person needs to be praised and acknowledged for what they're doing. But it's not my part. And if I'm doing that, they're not. And if God's asked them to speak to a child while they're passing out paper plates, and I just come rushing in and pass out the paper plates, I've messed it up. Do you know what I mean? So I have backed myself off as much as I possibly can. And I mean, as much as I possibly can allow myself. If I back myself right off, that team is incredible. And we have just raised them up so that the preschool oversights, they handle preschool. Primary handles primary, and I float in between. But again, I have to make myself go into a service. So I roster myself on to when I go in. I roster myself to go in the service. It's just my personality. Preschool or primary? Okay. So in the morning, they've got free time during rego. And then as soon as the service starts downstairs, we start upstairs at the same time, mostly. Every once in a while, I see that there's a queue of kids outside and we'll hold it 5 minutes. but we start straight away and we play a particular song that the kids know and they all come into the front. So wherever they are, if they're in that little side room or wherever, we play that song, music goes, and they all gather in front of the stage. And then we, at that time, do a little welcome greeting and then send them off. We'll usually give a shout out to tribes at that time. So, hey, we have wristbands. So anybody who brought their wristband, put your hand up. And we'll give you an extra token for bringing it. So just reinforcing, hey, we're going to be looking for this. Keep tribes in the forefront of their mind. And then they go off to small groups. So what happens is that when those small groups are happening, that's a social group. That's just a, hey, how you going? What'd you do this week? You know, and introducing kids to kids and building that relationship. That social connect group is real important for building that connection. But what's happening is, as kids are walking in, they're not walking in if they're late. They're not walking into a big mess. They're being greeted at the door and brought directly to their connect group. And they're brought right to their small group. Hey, Johnny's here this morning. Johnny, you're year two. Hey, Johnny's here, guys. Good morning. Oh, hi, Johnny. You know, that kind of thing. And then after that, after small groups, we bring them in and we actually do praise at that time. So we have at North, some of the other campuses, it's sometimes. But at North, we actually have a small little version of a band that comes in, but a kids' worship team. But we used to just do YouTube and turn down our mics for those of us that couldn't sing. And just, you know, like, you do what you got to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, my mic was turned way down low. But you just, and there were still God moments. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're still leading worship. So we will do praise at that time. And then after praise, we go into like a game time kind of thing, but an all-in game. So we do our all-in game, and that will connect in with the message somehow. And then we do the message after that. We've been real intentional lately. We're looking at changing the orientation of the room. Again, we only have one space. But I just noticed that we're doing everything at the stage. Kids are wound up and going crazy, and we're playing games at the stage. Then we expect them to sit down and listen to a message. So we're going to try it. It's coming. We're going to try it where they're just faced this way for the games. And then when it's time for the message, we're at the stage. Just physical orientation difference. So then we do the message. And then after the message, I'm a little different. Some campuses don't do that. Some campuses will do praise and worship right off the back of each other. I personally, with our kids, I just feel that worship is a response to the message. So we do worship then after the message. And then kids will then, after that, go into small groups again. And that's where we're talking about and breaking down the message itself. And then parents, it is set up so that parents will walk in on small groups as opposed to parents walking in on more free time. So no more free time after that. When parents arrive, then we go to free time again because then the next service is coming in and they're starting in free time, that kind of thing. But the service is the service. Is that cool? It's a super fast huddle. I mean, a lot of time it's preparing connect group boxes in primary where we got these little plastic boxes that's what they need for the activity in the connect group. So it's preparing the boxes, but then we'll pull them up and have a quick huddle, talk about anything that's on anybody's heart that day, pray real quick, pray for the person doing the message. Literally is a quick little huddle go team. And then we ask that those coming in the transition between the services, they meet, say, over in the back at the sound desk. And then while the service one team is still working, the service two team will come in and do a quick huddle. But we ask that someone from service one comes over and can give a handover for service two. In preschool, it's very much in between services, a quick handover. In the first service, I asked the preschool team to do a quick meeting before everything gets started. So we've got our all-church main prayer meeting. And so we do our prayer meeting, and then we go immediately into a preschool meeting. And in that preschool meeting, let's be honest, a lot of it is just letting the team leaders know who texted me that morning or that week to say that their kid's sick and they can't come. Do you know? Like, there's a lot of that. So it's a lot of practical stuff of, okay, this person's not here. What are we going to do? How are we going to jig this? And then it's maybe one thought that somebody has on the message that day or a practical craft thing or whatever. So it literally is just a huddle. Yeah, no, but not yet, but it's really been in my heart, and I've actually put that in for budget for next year, but one of the thoughts would be that we would put our rocks, our values, on the wall where kids can see it straight away, and yeah, it's definitely on the cards for the next couple of months. So I reckon so good, hey, because they need to see that. I mean, we've got some cool murals on the wall that speak life over kids. I'm a firm believer that we need to get more scripture in the room. I just think we need it in there some way, somehow, and that's cool. So we'll work on that. But I think we're going to have the values right as the kids walk in, so they'll see that on the wall and can be. And so the parents do as well. Do you know? Like, the parents don't know what to expect. And that's the other thing is we've been bringing parents in, not heaps, but, you know, some that if their kid's struggling, we ask the parent to come sit in on the session because they won't know what to expect otherwise, and they won't know how to reinforce that with their kids if they don't know what's happening. We're just starting to incorporate that into tribes. So they have a little memory verse card in primary. They have a little memory verse card in preschool. They all learn their little memory verse, but there's no reward as of yet. But they're cute as because they do learn it and they're gorgeous. It's the same one through the whole month. In primary, they get a little business size card. And they hold on to that, and we do games or things, but we will be starting to bring it in that if they've, in the Connect group, if they've got it in, if they've got their memory verse memorized, that we'll give them an extra token. So we'll be linking that into tribes. Correct. We have done memory verse challenges in the past where it is an individual thing, where the kids, everybody is tasked with memorizing the same verse, and they line up on the stage, and they do their memory verse, and anyone who knows their verse, or if they tell the Connect group leaders around, anyone who knows the verse gets their name put in the hat, and we drew it out for, it was a big prize, wasn't it? It was a $50 warehouse voucher. And so it was, yeah, so we're actually looking at bringing that back again. He doesn't know that, but I'm looking at bringing that back again in North. Because it just worked really well, and we've given it a rest long enough that I don't think you can do it constantly because I think they get familiar with it, but we've rested it for long enough that I think we can bring it back in. Can we bring it back? Can you CC me or BCC me? On these notes? Yeah, I will. Someone take notes for Lionel. Oh, great. Yep, they are per year group, so it's a little funny this year. They are per year group, so it's like boys year one, boys year four, and girls year six. Does that make sense? So there'll be two boys and one girl, and some groups have two girl groups and one boy. So it's mixed, and we try to span the ages so that it's, you know, you don't have year one girls and year one boys, heaven forbid, in the same group. So do you know what I mean? Like, it's, we tried to be a bit strategic about it. The year moved on and I realized I missed something and they kind of got lumped this year a little bit. But the point is that, yeah, we do try to strategic it out so that it's four groups, 12 year groups, and they're divided in. What are you two saying down there? Neither. We have an amazing campus my talker's broken. I told the kids in preschool this morning, I was doing a message in preschool and I said, my talker's broken, I can't do anymore. We have a kids team administrator and they prepare, along with some amazing students, they prepare the craft and stuff for us that goes to each campus and off it goes. Yeah. Yes, we'll have more questions at the end tomorrow. I think it's afternoon tea today. Tomorrow's no master classes. Don't listen to anything I say. We'll have more questions after Lionel's thingy. Should we just go to afternoon tea? Thanks, guys. Heaps, hey?